This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And on this Saturday, April 1st, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. And yes, it is April Fool's Day. And it's a bit odd that here on the Trickster Day, this is true. The UConn women lost.
The UConn women lost, yes. And unfortunately, Tim, I faded out early in the third quarter, and I didn't see the end of that.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh. And I thought, you know, watching that first half, I'm going, these guys just really aren't playing very well. And you know, the other team was, Mississippi State was playing very well and doing what they needed to do. And I'm going, well, I wonder if this streak is, and you know, and they talked to Gino before the game, oh, we're going to win. And I'm going, a bit of arrogance. Maybe the basketball.
Well, when you've won 111.
Yeah, you know, the basketball gods somehow even things up sometimes.
But you don't win 111 games without confidence.
No.
Bordering on arrogance.
Right.
But what, I mean, I don't watch a lot of women's college basketball. What a game.
Oh, it was
a great game. That was phenomenal basketball. Down to the
wire. First game was a great game too. That's when, South Carolina, beat, Stanford. And, South Carolina was pathetic in the first half, and then second half was all theirs, you know.
And you know South Carolina was rooting for Mississippi State last night.
Oh, man, you ain't kidding, an all-SEC championship.
That's right.
Sunday night.
What a night, and congrats to UConn. I mean, you win 111 games in a row. I mean, it's just staggering. They had won four championships in a row, but they play no close games. And we talk about it at the high school level all the time. When you are not challenged in the regular year with close games, when you get into the playoffs, it can become a challenge. Now, with UConn, it's a little different because they've been doing this for like 20 years where they blow everybody out and still win the championship. But in that spot last night, undefeated, the winning streak, what it was, the number of consecutive championships in a row, the level of pressure that was on those UConn players last night, astronomical.
One of the earlier round games, I was watching, and one of the commentators said, look, here's the deal. If you don't get UConn this year, you're not going to get them for the next two or three years because they are absolutely reloading with huge weapons.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anybody's going to stop UConn, this has got to be the year that the streak is stopped because you're not going to do it in the next few years.
This was a rebuilding year for UConn, and they were 36-0 in a rebuild.
Yeah. So.
Tweet of the day goes to Pat Forty, who says, now Mississippi State has to come back and beat Finland for the gold medal.
There you go.
Last time when I was watching that game, I thought back just a few years ago to the men's tournament when Wisconsin beat undefeated Kentucky in the national semifinal. Very similar situation to that, David. And, of course, they lost to Duke in the championship game. So, if you're Mississippi State, you better bring it on Sunday night.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, you expend so much emotion and so much energy, and then in less than 48 hours, you got to turn around and play for a national championship. Probably the good thing is it's a team that they know.
Right.
You know, so that might help them out a bit. But what a great ball game.
And we'll see what happens tonight in the men's Final Four.
Yeah.
But at the beginning of the college basketball season, if someone would have told you, hey, I bet you South Carolina women and the South Carolina men will both play for the national championship.
What are the odds?
What
would the odds
take
be
that thing to Vegas?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That'll win you some money.
And you know, South Carolina, under their current coach, had been 0-4 her career, both playing and coaching against Stanford. So, in fact, I think even against UConn as well. Yeah. So,
like everybody else. The neat thing about the Mississippi State win last night over UConn, it's a great sign of perseverance and why we love sports. Because last year, UConn beat them by 60.
Mm-hmm.
60.
Yeah.
6-0 in the Sweet 16.
Sweet 16.
A year later, they come back and score maybe arguably the greatest upset in the history of women's college basketball. But I heard him say last night during the broadcast, after that 60-point whooping last year, they got off the plane, went right into the film room, and watched the tape, and they said it took them an hour to get through the first 10 minutes.
Yes, yes, Yes. So.
So congratulations.
But you know, in the greatest reality TV is sports.
That's exactly right.
Because you never know, and that's why they make you play the games. You can pick all the brackets you want. You can, you know, make all the bets you want. You can, but that's why they make you play the game. So.
That's exactly right.
And it, good for women's basketball.
Great for women's
basketball. One thing women's basketball found out this year, they went to neutral sites for the earlier round games, and the attendance has dropped off dramatically. So I anticipate them going back to host sites again to get the attendance up, and I think it probably would be good for women's basketball at the college level. Just a quick comment.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you there. So the women's championship game is set with Mississippi State and South Carolina. The men's championship game on Monday, the Final Four will be played tonight. We'll get back into that a little bit later in the show, but we want to switch gears now. A little bit sad here at WSMI. Terry, how long have you been here?
Well, I'm in my 39th year.
Almost made it to 40.
Almost.
Terry has informed us that he will be heading off to Iowa. Of course, his son Brendan moved up to Iowa with his wife and their children a few years ago. Terry has got a job at KHKA, going to be the lead soccer broadcaster there.
Really
always
not.
You love basketball, but soccer's always been your go-to sport.
And Brendan's my son is officiating D1 soccer, college soccer, and high school soccer. He's head of the soccer association, and so he's heavily involved with that stuff. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Never thought you would leave this place, this type of opportunity. I mean, it's too good to pass up.
It was. It's not an easy decision to make.
No, I'm sure it's not.
And you go in and, you know, you meet some nice people. It was an interesting chat I had with the program director and the general manager, and went in, we had a nice conversation, and the sports director there is leaving and going elsewhere. So we cussed and discussed it, so to speak, walked outside, walking down the hallway, one of the other announcers ran into me and knocked me over and reached down, and instead of reaching down and grabbing my arm and pulling me up, he reached down and pulled my leg just like I'm pulling yours.
April Fools. We had to have a little fun.
No, yeah.
We had to have fun.
Cue rim shot sound effect.
Yeah, well,
we don't have.
Yeah, that's okay. It was a terrible joke, I know, but, you know.
But it was fun.
But
it was fun nonetheless.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, there's probably someone out there who spit their coffee. Yeah, like, whoa.
No.
Terry will be on the mic on Monday when we're going to have a premier high school softball game for you.
Yes, we are.
Calhoun and Gillespie. Monday, we'll have the broadcast for you, 7:03, right here on FM 106. And we're talking about Calhoun, obviously, the best team in 1A.
That goes without saying.
Gillespie would be one of the top teams in 2A.
I think this week they were ranked number 2 in the state poll in Class 2A. So we're talking about premier softball. And by the way, our high school games, because of our Cardinal affiliation with AM 1540, FM 106.9, and so many of the games this spring with the Cardinals, obviously with day games, early starts because they go to the East Coast, all of our high school games will be same day coverage, 7:03 at night on WSMI FM 106. So we'll also stream them at that time. And of course, podcasts will be available as well. So, but we'll have the broadcast at 7:03 on Monday night of the Calhoun Gillespie game. And I'm telling you,
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. There'll be a few people there.
Have a slight draw.
Yeah.
A little bit of a draw.
And you just wonder down the line, is it possible they're going to meet again? You never know.
Well, different classes though.
Different classes, because you're talking 1A with Calhoun, 2A for Gillespie. And of course, we've had some great battles with Gillespie and Williamsville in the past, and Dupo, I believe, in the past, and Addie Bryant's a senior this year, and I tell you what, Gillespie's got a young, has got a freshman that is doing very well, so we're anxious to get our broadcast season underway. We've got softball, Monday, Staunton-Nokomis baseball Wednesday, weather permitting.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's this week, but, we're ready to rock and roll. So.
Well, with Addie Bryan and Grace Ballman, this game might be over in less than an hour.
Well, I was going to say this might be a 30-minute game.
Could be.
We might actually spend more time playing commercials than having game.
Possible.
You know?
I mean, this is going to be a game where it's going to be a lot of quick half innings.
Put it this way, and who knows, it may go 15 innings before it's somehow decided. You never know. So,
but with these two quality of teams and those two types of pitchers, it very well might leak into very extended extra innings with no score.
So it's, you know, I always love baseball and softball in the springtime. It's really the reason I got into broadcasting and, love it, absolutely love it. Ready to get it going, so.
And there's not much better to me at the high school level than a crispy played high level softball game. When you've got elite teams like we will on Monday. I mean, you could put a football game, you could put a basketball, I don't care. Those are all great.
Yeah.
But when you have a matchup like we're going to have on Monday, that's as close to perfection as you're going to get in the regular season high school
you
sports.
You got Gillespie, that's good. You've got Hillsborough's going to be pretty darn good. Litchfield's off to a great start. Mont Olive's got some game. I tell you what, we've got some good teams around the area this year. And, I just hope that the springtime weather allows them to get plenty of games in through the season and not be, double booked the last week of the regular season before regionals. Because I always feel that, you know, the pitching gets worn out, both in baseball and softball, as you head into the postseason. I like to have everybody perking at 100% heading into the postseason.
So. Of course, with the baseball, it'll be different this year with the pitch counts, and we'll see how that affects freshness and the number of arms available. That'll be very interesting to see how that plays out.
We talked with Bob Allen last week. We had Bob on the show, and of course, in case you didn't catch it, it's available as part of a podcast. But Bob was telling us that, you know, they enter this information into the IHSA website after every game, and it tells you exactly when that pitcher is allowed to pitch again based on the number of pitches that he pitched and everything. And that, to me, is a great thing for the IHSA.
I heard that conversation last week, and my thought was, is there a punishment for a coach that doesn't enter that in?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's probably, I don't know.
I mean, we've got to be
I would assume there would be some sort of blowback. You'd have to do that. So, and do you have to do it after every game, or do you have to do it every week? I would assume after every game, just to make sure it's up to date. So,
just one more thing to keep track of.
Well, you know, people have already asked me, T, are you going to keep track of the pitch counts? No, I will not keep track of the pitch counts. I might ask the umpires or the coaches to send over a pitch count once in a while, but no, I'm not going to keep pitch counts.
And, you know, from that perspective, it won't be too necessary because I do believe the way it's going to work, the managers or the head coaches and the umpire will meet at the end of each odd inning and review their pitch counts.
And I'll be honest with you, a lot of coaches had took care of the pitch counts anyway.
Yeah,
even
now, for them.
This is not new. Yeah. This is not new. This is not new. So, this is just, and I like the fact that the IHSA has stepped up, you know, the National Federation, came up with this, and the IHSA adopted their own version of it. Different states have different pitch counts and variations on, you know, maybe by five or six different pitches, but, you know, it's a good starting spot, and I'm anxious to see how it works. Like I said, I just hope they don't get backed up the last week of the season, which we have seen, by the way, from time to time. Couple of things that I want to mention while we're on the subject of high school baseball and softball before we go to break. Coming up, one of these days, during the springtime, in honor of Sam Stewart who passed away, the former Gillespie coach, they're going to have a special night. They haven't really pinned it down yet, but when they have it, we're going to be there. Looking forward to that. Of course, Sam had a lot of success and really, poured his heart and soul into that Gillespie baseball program. The fine facility they have there, started from very humble beginnings, and Sam worked his butt off to get it to where it is. And we, just as somebody who likes baseball, appreciate everything he did, and the program's in good hands with Jeremy Smith and one of Sam's guys, and so we look forward to that. Plus, this is also the 40th anniversary of the baseball team from Nokomis High School that went to state. And coming up on the last Friday of the regular season, Nokomis is playing Riverton. that team is going to be honored that night, and then the next morning on Sports Saturday, we'll have the guys in here to talk about the 40th anniversary. And that, by the way, was one-class baseball. One-class baseball back then, so 40th anniversary. So we had them in 10 years ago for the 30th, and be a lot of fun. So
40 years.
Oh, man. Baseball and softball season, exciting. This is a great time of year. I love all sports, but nothing like baseball and softball on the radio.
Good stuff. Cards, Cubs on the radio tomorrow. The season opener. It'll be Sunday night baseball for you tomorrow.
And how about that new left fielder the Cardinals have? We'll talk about that later.
Oh, little city, Matt Adams. We'll come back with more in a moment. David, thank you very much. Cards, Cubs tomorrow night, I think live at
5:55, yeah.
AM 1540 and FM 106.9. The season opener and the world champion Cubs.
Chicago Cubs.
Into town.
Still the team that beat in the Central Division, I'm telling you, man.
All of baseball, I would say.
Wow. They're able to stay healthy this year or have minimal amount of injuries. Who's going to catch them again? I tell you, they just are a juggernaut. Waiting to happen.
They absolutely are that.
Yeah.
But I mean, the thing about, and that's the beautiful thing and the frustrating thing about baseball. The Cubs were the outlier last year in the terms of they were the best team going into the year.
Yeah.
They were the best team all year and they won the World Series. That doesn't happen a lot of times in baseball where the best team throughout the year actually wins the World Series. So I mean, there's a chance that the Cubs could wind up being better, quote unquote, this year and not win the World Series.
Yeah.
We'll see, but to me, the Cubs are great. But I don't think they're as good as they were last year. I've heard a lot of respected baseball people say that they're better. Maybe they are. Their starting pitching is older.
Yeah.
Lackey's old. Lester's getting older. Arrieta's got a lot of wear on those tires the last few years. And to me, their outfield depth is not nearly what it was.
Dexter Fowler out of the picture.
Big loss. They were able to overcome the Schwarber injury.
Yeah.
Last year, because they had Fowler, they had Soler.
Yeah.
What happens if Jason Hayward still struggles this year?
Yeah.
Now you got a big problem.
Yeah, you do. And you know,
Zobrist is a year older,
and you got to stay healthy. Yes. You know, and so many times we've seen after a good year, unfortunately, health issues arise in Major League Baseball teams and virtually every sport. You know, you've got to be good. You've got to have the good athletes. You got to have a little bit of luck, and that luck extends to health, and you just hope that they're able to stay healthy all year long.
And from with their young position players, they should be able to stay healthy in everyday players. Yeah. But their starting pitching does concern me with the age. Jason Hamill's gone. They had the same five starters every game last year, and we've seen that over the years.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what baseball team you're talking about. If you have the same five guys that pitch all year, you're going to be good.
You're going to have consistency, and you know they're still the team to beat though.
There's no question about that.
But you know the pressure's on now.
Oh, yeah.
And they've got the big bullseye on their back.
They had that last year, though. But
it's a different type of bullseye. Yeah,
they were still the lovable losers last year. Now they're the defending champions.
They're the defending champions. They are the world champions. So we'll see. Should be a fun season of baseball. And I just hope the weather holds out for the opener.
Sounds like it's a good thing it's a night game.
Yeah, because daytime expected to be pretty damp. So
hopefully the Clydesdales will be able to make their appearance.
Oh gosh, yes.
If it's
yes.
wet, they won't bring them
and,
out.
And I was talking with this earlier this week, and John Marty and I got on the subject of opening day and stuff, and I said if you've never experienced an opening day with the Clydesdales, let me encourage you to be part of that, because it is so thrilling to see not only the Clydesdales, and you know, and they're playing Here Comes the King on the organ and everything, but you see the Hall of Famers come in one by one. It's, you know, it's how opening day ought to be in baseball. The Cardinals do it right.
It's a spectacle.
It is a spectacle. It's a holiday. It is a holiday, baseball holiday.
Oh, it is.
In St. Louis and for St. Louis, for Cardinal Nation.
Well, whenever it falls on the weekday, you always show the conversation. Should St. Louis City actually shut down? Whether they officially do or not,
they really do. So
it's kind of like the first couple of days of March Madness. Not much work gets done in St. Louis on the Cardinals home opener. It just doesn't happen. Of course, the big news for the Cardinals here is it sounds, all reports indicate that they're going to lock up Yachty with a 3-year extension, which should ensure him retiring as a Cardinal. And that's great news. That's
pay him what he wants.
Absolutely.
He's worth every darn dime. Yes. I'm telling you right now. Just the knowledge that man brings to the game, his tenacity, the fact that he is a clutch guy. He's paying what he wants. Make sure he retires as a Cardinal so he can go into the Hall of Fame as a Cardinal.
Yeah, if he wants one leg of the arch, give it to him.
Yeah, absolutely. He's the one guy the Cardinals have to have in the lineup.
I thought this even when Albert was still in a Cardinal uniform, that Yadi was the most important player that they had from everything that he brings, all the stuff that you can't measure it. They're not even, they're beyond intangibles, the stuff that he brings to a club. And you just look at the success they've had when he's behind the plate. That's all you need to know.
You know, and I find it interesting that Major League Baseball has tried to make rules because of Yadi, his frequent visits to the mound. You know, those pay off in calming down pitchers, discussing the situation, maybe just slowing the game down a bit, you know, strategically to get the Cardinal pitchers back on the right page here. And, you know, there've been talk about doing away with those visits to the mound or having them count as a charged visit. That's not going to change. I mean, you know, you can talk about the pitch clocks all you want, but baseball is going to be baseball. Who says it's too long? Yeah, the Yankees and the Red Sox games are too long. They are because, you know, it's a home run derby type thing and that's just the way they are. But, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Leave it alone. Okay. You don't need to mess with it. So
for how many centuries was the beauty of baseball?
Yeah.
The fact it was a game with no clock.
No clock. Yeah. And it is still the best thing going.
Oh, it is. Yeah. You want to speed the game up, call strikes.
There you go.
It's not that hard.
There you go.
It's not complicated. An idiot sitting in the middle of a cornfield on Saturday morning knows if you want to speed the game up, call more strikes.
I can show you the perfect strike zone. I can. I'm telling you. I can draw a diagram and show you what you should call. And I guarantee you, the batters will not like you, the pitchers will love you, and you'll have two-hour games.
Oh, can you imagine if Little League Baseball was called, the strike zone was like it is in a major league game?
Oh, I've seen those games
before.
Oh,
my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh,
when you first start out doing summer league games, you learn real quick, you gotta have a big strike
zone. Gotta have a big strike zone.
You remember that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So. Got to.
We're not talking about saying 6 inches outside off the plate, no. But, you know, if it's on the black, or just off the black, go ahead and call it.
Black to black,
you know,
knees to letters.
One time through the lineup, batters know.
Right.
And I always thought, and I will make this dissertation, I always thought before they got so involved with the electronics and all this sort of stuff, that every baseball umpire had his own reputation as far as what the strike zone was. Mm-hmm. Some had a tighter strike zone, some had a bigger strike zone, but I thought there was less problems with games moving along when the umpires were not so scrutinized with all the electronic getcha gadgets. So
no, there's definitely something to be said for that.
That's just my opinion.
Back to Yadi for a second.
Yes.
Do you think he was trying to make a point with his World Baseball
Classic
performance?
Was.
I think he did.
He did.
I think he'd be like, oh my God, yeah, he still got it.
You know what? I enjoyed watching the World Baseball, and I made a point to watch when Yadi was playing. I'm going, God, these guys don't know how lucky he is to be out there.
I texted
how much knowledge of these guys who are not even Major League Baseball players absorbing from this guy.
I texted David the night before or the day of the championship game between Puerto Rico and America, and I asked David, is it un-American for me to root for Yadi in Puerto Rico?
Like,
David said it was. David told me it was.
You can root for Yadi.
You can root for Yadi, but be for Team USA. Yeah.
But then I also told him, though, once the game started, I started watching it, I was for America.
Yeah,
I could not be.
For Yadi to go 4-for-4 with 4 solo shots and have the U.S. win 5-4.
There you go.
But you know the great thing, and you know the World Baseball Classic, is something that's huge around the world, but it's still struggling a little bit in the USA. But now that Team USA has won,
it'll change it.
That might change it a little bit. And I've heard a couple of ideas thrown out that I thought were pretty good ideas. You do it similar to the World Cup soccer tournament where you have qualifying games in March and then once every 4 years instead of the All-Star game, you have the knockout round. You have the four semifinalists and then you have, you know, just a single elimination knockout game.
That to me makes a lot of sense. It's perfect.
Because
then you've got the players in mid-season form.
Mid-season form, yeah. And you can have a whole week celebration. A whole week celebration of the World Baseball Classic.
And
you cannot tell me that would be received on a on a massive scale in the United States.
Oh, there's no question that it would be. And the other side to that would be, in the middle of July, we're in baseball mode.
Mode, yes.
In March, I love baseball.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in baseball in March. I'm in basketball mode.
Well, when you're flipping between basketball and baseball, it's tough to keep track of both.
It is.
Okay? But in middle of July, once every four years, and I'd even suggest doing it once every 2 years.
You can get away
every
with
other
that,
year.
Yeah.
You know, and have a World Baseball Classic with your knockout round the week of the All-Star game.
Because now that the All-Star game thankfully has no home field advantage tied to it, that's a great idea.
You know, still go ahead and elect your All-Star team for that year, but just don't have an All-Star game.
Right.
Seriously, don't have an All-Star game. Let the World Baseball Classic be, you know, if Major League Baseball wants to have this huge worldwide impact, which I think it's having.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it really is having, much like the NBA. You know, let's showcase baseball. What a terrific way to do it. My goodness.
Yes.
That would be wonderful.
That'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
A knockout, you know, and you have your qualifying all done in the spring, and then you have your knockout round. It's a single elimination. You know, here we go. Everybody throws their best. So.
You know, I wish Mike Matheny would take a little bit of a page from the NBA book and actually rest his stars every once in a while. Yadi, how many games will Yadi catch this year? There's 162 games in the schedule. He caught 142 last year. Signed a new contract. He runs the club. Let's put the over-under for games caught by Yadi at one. I was going to say 145.
I was going to say 145.
145. You going over then?
I'm going over.
Yeah, I'm probably going over too.
It's hard to say just because I don't know if he'll stay healthy. I don't think he's going to be healthy all year, personally. 34-year-old catcher.
But you hate Yadi, though.
I don't hate Yadi.
You hate Yadi.
I do not hate
You can't
Yadi.
Stand Yadi.
That's not true at all.
It is true.
I've never said that once.
You said he wasn't a Hall of Famer.
I did say that. And
so
I
mean, you hate Yadi. Why do you hate Yadi? What did Yadi ever do to you?
He's not a Hall of Famer right now, but I do not hate Yadi.
5 years after he's done playing baseball, he's in the Hall
of
Fame.
We'll have to agree to disagree.
Okay.
David really doesn't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Defensive-only guys do not get in the Hall of
Fame. But he's not a defensive-only guy.
He is. Looking at his numbers, he's specifically for
catchers.
Baseball
Hall of Fame is changing, though.
It is.
It's changing.
It is.
And they're starting to even think about the steroid era people.
Sure.
Well, it's because voters have been forced to make their ballots public. So that has helped guys. Well, Tim Raines does not get this Hall of Fame class this year does not get in without that rule change.
Rock Raines.
Because yeah. Jeff Bagwell saw
a
huge increase in support.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, you
because
know,
every vote counts.
It does.
Yeah.
And but Yadi's not a defensive-only guy, though.
No, he's not.
Clutch.
He's a clutch
offensive
guy.
Hitter. Clutch offensive hitter.
It's hard to measure clutch statistically.
Hmm. Well, statistically maybe, but not when you watch the game.
Hmm.
That's what a lot of voters go on. We're into it. We're into
how many
an
postseason appearances have the Cardinals
statistical
been
age. Postseason doesn't help. Doesn't tend to help players' cases. Kurt Schilling.
Well, see, I disagree.
But see, Kurt Schilling didn't have a prolonged career where
Kurt Schilling,
he was successful.
In my mind, Kurt Schilling is a Hall of Famer because of postseason.
Postseason does help, though, because he's in the conversation for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He's not even snipping the conversation without his postseason resume. So a postseason plays a very major factor.
Yeah.
Why do you hear the conversation about some of these New York Yankees as potential Hall, like Andy Pettit was in the conversation? He's not a Hall of Famer, but the only reason he's in the conversation is because of his postseason success. And when you play for a storied franchise like the Cardinals, outside of the Yankees, they're it. I mean, they are the gold standard
for
Major
Dodgers.
League Baseball. And I'd say they surpassed the Dodgers here in the last 15, 20 years with their more modern time success. But
I would have to say that Jim Edmonds disagrees with you. Jim Edmonds didn't make it past the first round of ballots because he played most of his career in St. Louis.
Jim Edmonds got hosed.
He did. But, I mean, that just goes to show that playing in St. Louis is still a Midwest city. The market does not matter. I mean, it's.
But see, Jim Edmonds was always a borderline
the market matters,
guy because of the position that he played and the numbers that he had. His numbers just didn't stack up with the other greats of his position. Take Johnny Bench out of the equation. You put Yadi up against any catcher in the modern era. He can hold his own with any of those guys.
Offensive numbers aren't there. I mean, look at some of the offensive catchers who are in the Hall of Fame. They're not there for Yadi. The benchmark essentially is 2,000 hits and 300 home runs for Hall of Fame catchers. With the exception of those who played like 1920 and before.
Yeah. By the time his contract's over, he's going to be right around the 2,000 hit mark.
There's only eight catchers in the Hall of Fame.
Right, and he's going to be number nine.
Pudge might be nine. Yadi might be the 10th.
He's going in.
We'll see.
Going in. There's no doubt that he's going in.
He needs five more gold gloves to help his case.
He does not need five more gold gloves. That's ludicrous. It's a ludicrous statement, David.
Johnny Bench has 10. Pudge has 13. Those are the defensive specialist catchers who are in the Hall of Fame.
So he needs five more.
He's got 8.
Right. So he has to have as many as Pudge?
He's got to at least pass at Johnny
You're telling
Bench.
Me that if Yadier Molina is regarded as the best defensive catcher for the majority of his career, which he has been, has 10 gold gloves.
How do you measure?
He has at least 7 all-star appearances, whatever he does in the next few years, plus 2 world championships. He's not a Hall of Famer.
How do you also measure who's the best defensive catcher of all time as well? Just because we in St. Louis believe that, that
but
doesn't
that's
mean
not a St. Louis.
Media.
That's a national thing.
Is it?
Yes.
Is it?
Oh, goodness, yes. Every time the Cardinals are on a national broadcast, they fall over themselves
to talk about
the greatness.
I've read some
of
other
Yachty.
National writers and voters who have been on the fence about this as well. I think David Schoenfield was one of them who he says Yadi's case is borderline. So he's got work to do to get in.
Well, yeah, if he retired today, he probably wouldn't be in, but he's not retiring today.
Well, that's, I mean, that's,
more great
that's
years.
Pretty much, that's what you have to go by. You can't just assume he's going to rack up the extra numbers.
I assume that he's going to perform the next 3 years fairly close to how he's performed throughout his career because that's what he's done every single year.
Yeah.
Hall of Famer, David.
We'll see.
Get him his red jacket now.
Yeah.
Get him that red jacket.
26 or 27 will probably be the soonest we're able to find out unless he gets hurt.
He's going in.
We'll see. We'll see.
But the most important thing is he's going to hopefully retire as a Cardinal.
Bob Boone and Jim Sundberg would have a disagreement.
Bob Boone.
Two of the greatest defensive catchers of all time who are not in the Hall of Fame, who have comparable offensive numbers to Yadi's. They are also not in the Hall of Fame.
You can't be in the Hall of Fame if your son swings and misses in a home run derby like Brett Boone did.
Oh, that I don't know about that.
Automatic disqualifier. Automatic. Get out. How are you going to swing and miss in a home run derby? How does that happen?
Well, I could do that.
Well,
that'd be really easy for me to do it.
We could do it. But goodness gracious, you're a major league ball player.
Yeah,
how are you going to swing and miss?
The pitcher you chose to pitch to.
Yes.
I don't know.
We probably should get to a break because we have 2 breaks to fit in.
Oh, well, let's take a break.
Let's
okay.
do that. Back after this. Argument that continued from the last segment.
It's just a discussion,
Dave.
That's all.
Discussion.
Just a little discussion.
Argument.
At all.
Oh, so we're back?
We are back.
Oh, we're on the radio now?
Right now.
Oh, hi, David.
I think so. Hi. I do want to make one correction. We received a phone call. This is going back to our pitch count discussion. We received a phone call from Ron. He's a certified umpire with the IHSA. Umpires have nothing to do with the pitch count. The two managers keep track, and if there's a discrepancy, they go with the middle number and then report it to the IHSA.
Right.
Did we talk about that?
Well, not that specifically, but we commented that at the end of each odd inning, the two head coaches will get together with the umpire. Yeah. We talked about that, I think, when the pitch count thing
first
came out a while ago.
They don't have any.
The
umpire has no power.
Team A had 78 pitches, and Team B had 75 pitches.
The umpires have enough to worry about.
Split the difference.
Right. The umpires have enough to worry about.
Yes.
You know, it's, you know.
I remember being at a game, I've mentioned this before, regional game at Gillespie 2 or 3 years ago. Gillespie was playing Dupo in the championship game. And the poor kid for Dupo had a ball game, but he threw like 150 or 160 pitches after he had pitched earlier in the regional. And it's those types of situations why this pitch count rule is in effect. And I think it's a great rule.
Was Dusty Baker his manager?
Yes.
You don't need an arm.
What?
Who cares? You don't need an off day.
Just start throwing left-handed. You'll be fine.
It's only 3 inches longer than the other one. Because every ligament, everything's stretched out.
So the max pitch total is 105. That's the most pitches that a pitcher can throw at the high school level. Now, they can exceed that number if they hit 105 in the middle of an at-bat. They're allowed to finish the current batter they're facing, and then at that point they are immediately removed from the game. So if you throw 31 to 45 pitches, 1 day of rest. 46 to 60 pitches requires 2 days of rest. 61 to 76 pitches is 3 days of rest. And then 76 to 105 is 4 days of rest.
So there you go.
It's unfortunate if you have 104 pitches going into one at-bat. 105th pitch is the first pitch to the next batter, and it ends up being like a 15-pitch at bat.
Well,
right.
That's
the way it goes.
That's the way it goes.
Usually, though, in high school, it's not a 15-pitch.
Not many 15-pitch at bat.
No.
4-pitch walk, sure.
Yeah.
See those? First ball swinging,
yeah. 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 That happens. There's a little pop-up for you.
But, I mean, it definitely adds another layer.
Sure.
To steal a term from George W. Bush, strategery.
Strategery, yes.
Another layer of strategery.
Well, you know, coaches have access to this, and they'll be able to look at opposing teams at who they may be playing, you know, in a conference game or a regional tournament game down the line and see what their pitchers have.
So what I'll be interested to watch is not so much pitchers getting to the max. That is what it is. But if you've got three games in a week,
yeah,
say your ace is at 59 pitches. Maybe you get him out so he can come back in 2 days. It's that level of strategy that I think that's going to be in play that hasn't been there before.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, especially like you talked about when we get into the later part of the year, once we have some rainouts, so you get a bunch of games backlogged into one week.
And I'm talking in particular the 1A and 2A schools that generally don't have an abundance of pitching.
And this is who the pitch count will affect the most will be the smaller schools.
Right. Right, so.
I understand our old friend Reed Detmers was pitching pretty well up at Chatham.
Two no-hitters
in like, I think a span of either 7 days or 7 games.
Seven days.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Reed's doing well.
Bigger, facing bigger schools.
He's going to be playing lots of baseball this summer, I suspect. So.
You might be a name to watch on that weekend of the Major League Baseball amateur draft.
I definitely think that's
in June, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I definitely think that's the case.
Probably not the first day, but. Definitely the Saturday and Sunday.
Awesome stuff.
If they still draft on Sunday, I don't remember what they do. They moved the first round to Friday, first and second. Cardinals don't have a pick that day anymore.
Houston's going to be very busy that day.
Yeah.
Many things.
That's right.
Many things.
Yes.
There's a reason they...
The Supreme Court of Baseball
that reason
lowered
they
the
went,
boom on the Cardinals.
Yeah, that reason they went after Dexter Fowler was twofold. Not just to get Dexter Fowler, but hey, we're not going to get this pick anyway.
Right?
So.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly right. And they were very shrewd in the international market the last couple of years, too, because they knew what was coming. Yeah. They knew they were going to lose draft picks. They knew it. And very proactive.
And the Cardinals made no bones about it. It was, you know, something that shouldn't have happened. It did happen. And, you know, it was kind of a rogue thing, but they're moving on. So,
well, I don't think they were sure how they were going to get punished because they spent a ton of money in the international draft pool, and then obviously they signed Dexter Fowler, so they would basically forfeit that first round pick. So, I mean, how are you going to punish them? They got off easy.
Oh, absolutely, they got off easy.
There were some who were saying, you know, they really lowered the boom on them. They didn't. They got off pretty nice compared.
Well,
to what
for
they
baseball
done.
Though, that's lowering the
it
boom.
It is, yeah.
I mean, you're
biggest
talking.
Punishment ever.
Yeah. So,
what if Carrera has prison internet access?
I doubt it.
Don't think so? No?
I don't know.
Just curious.
His career sure
only you
around.
Would come up with a question like that. I've been sitting here next to you how many years? And only you would come up with a question like that.
What can I say?
Let's go
I think
break.
It's a valid question.
I know. Hey, that's right.
We'll get to a break. We'll come back in a moment.
9:49 and time now, or excuse me, back to Sports Saturday. We've already started the program. We're 50 minutes in, so.
I would say so, Dave.
April Fool's, right?
There we go.
Thanks for tuning in. We're all done for the day.
We're restarting. We're starting Sports Saturday version 2 right now.
Starting now.
That was all a joke. That 50 minutes was
never happened.
It was fake news.
There you go.
Fake Sports
Saturday. Too much of that these days. The Final Four is tonight, and if you had Gonzaga, well, a lot of people like Gonzaga. If you had South Carolina and Oregon,
you cheated
in your final.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting way of putting it.
Yes. I think I saw ESPN had almost like 20 million brackets filled out online. 657 had all four teams in the Final Four.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
That's because they don't put a limit on the number of brackets you can fill out. So I'm sure some people just filled out like.
A gazillion brackets.
They actually do put a limit, 25.
That's still a lot.
Just 25.
Who fills out 25 brackets?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Oh, no, I wouldn't. A lot of people do.
Yeah.
A lot of people do. Yeah. My brackets.
By the way, who's in the lead for the coveted WISMI Cup?
Emily Middleton right now.
Okay.
She's got 84. I think right behind her is the Woodman bracket, who is one of Rick Davis's. He's got 80.
Okay.
Barb Valentine, the only one who picked Gonzaga to win it all. So while she's in the middle of the pack right now,
I don't know.
Very much alive.
I you know, you got to kind of root for Gonzaga because,
oh,
you know, the Zags, you just, you know, for so long they've been so good. And but, boy, how are you going to beat North Carolina?
I'll put it this way. She's the only one in our pool who picked a winner that team is still alive.
Okay.
My bracket was trash, but I had Carolina in the championship game, and if I would have just picked him to win, I would have won the whole stinking
thing. That's right. That's right.
I couldn't do
nobody
it.
Else picked North
my
Carolina.
My Dookie roots wouldn't allow me to pick Carolina trash to win the whole thing. I couldn't
do it,
your
Darren.
DNA.
Oh,
your DNA,
Tim. I couldn't do it. I put him in the title game, but I could not.
Your heart got in the way of your head.
Couldn't do it.
You're going.
I threw my brackets away after South Carolina beat Duke. They went right in the trash. Get out of here. So I feel.
I assumed that you probably lit them on fire and ceremoniously burned them.
Yes, like when the Knights died back in the day. Yeah. I put it on a float out in the pond and just sent it out to the center.
Hey, I don't
rest, young brackets. Rest.
I don't know if we talked about this in between our Sports Saturday segments, or I don't remember when this happened specifically, but it looks like the class, the line I had, is coming back. Like everyone that they had signed, they're coming back next year.
That's good. And you know, the Brad Underwood signing came out of left field for me. I didn't even see that on the radar.
Nobody knew
you know,
he was available.
I didn't know much about the guy, but as I heard more about him, I think that's a brilliant hire.
It is.
I think that is an absolutely great hire. He comes from he was an assistant under Frank Martin at Kansas State, who was of the Bob Huggins tree.
Huggins tree.
You look at those two teams and the way that they play. I think that's going to mesh perfectly in the Big Ten.
He was an assistant under Huggins at Kansas State because Huggins was at K-State for a year.
Okay, so he was under Huggins
he was under
and
Huggins
Martin,
and Martin
Okay, I knew he was under Martin at K-State.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you talk about a style that I think is going to work great in the Big Ten. It's an uncomfortable play. Yeah. I mean, when you watch South Carolina play in this tournament.
They're in your face.
Oh, they're in your face.
Yeah.
You don't like to play that style.
No.
You know, you take it to the high school level. The teams that, like the Southwestern girls for years, just pressured you. All the way up the floor.
Yeah.
Every single second of every single game, someone's on the ball with pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It wears you out.
Mm-hmm.
It just wears you out.
And the Illini are going to have some depth.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have some depth here. They've got some talent, like big time talent coming in. And you get these guys in shape and you get a rotation going and you just wear the other team down.
I was a big fan of Gross. I liked John Gross. But when people started diving into the numbers, his time at Ohio, he wasn't dominant at the mid-major level. Had a great tournament run. But in terms of actually in-season conference play, middle of the pack to below average. This Underwood guy, when he was at Stephen F. Austin, lost one conference game in like 3 years.
Yeah.
Like 52 or 53 and one.
And won tournament games in the process.
Right. And then takes an Oklahoma State program that got Travis Ford fired the year before and gets him to the tournament the next year. So, I mean, this is about as bright a future as Illini basketball has had since Darren Williams and Dee Brown were there.
Yeah. You know, it was a good hire with Lovie. Good hire with Underwood. So.
Got to love this AD, man.
Yeah.
Getting it done. TCB, that guy.
Well, so. Don't slight the women's
coach. Oh, yeah.
Faye from Wash U.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
He's making moves, getting things done.
So,
and whatever that guy, he's a salesman.
And the thing of it is about the Illini athletic program, you know, to get them back on some notice on the national stage, it's going to take a little while. And you know, you're not going to have overnight results. You're not going to have instant success, but you are going to have success, and it may take. Personally, in basketball, I think it's going to be quicker than anybody.
I think
expects.
They could have overnight success in basketball because I mean they've got talent coming back. The talent they have. Coming in with a new philosophy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wants to get a shot up in 7 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. I like that.
Giddy up and go.
Let's go.
They also are still a player. They're a finalist for Mark Smith, who is visiting Michigan State sometime between now and next weekend.
Oh, boy.
Well, Michigan State has put themselves in the running, too.
Also, apparently, I heard this from a couple different people, Kentucky.
Really?
Has gotten some interest in
I think Kentucky is more of kicking the tires right now. I don't know how serious that is because they're so low. I know they're Kentucky.
When
I know.
Kentucky kicks your tires.
You listen.
You listen.
I realize this.
People don't turn down Kentucky unless they're turning them down for Duke or North Carolina or Kansas.
But it was so late in the game.
It's Kentucky.
I know.
It's Kentucky.
But he's
how
very...
He has dreams of playing in the NBA. If you have dreams of playing in the NBA, how do you say no to the NBA factory?
But
that
he's buried
Kentucky.
in this recruiting class that they've got already.
But see, and you're not wrong about that. But think about this Kentucky team this year. Yeah, they had the stud freshmen, but they had, Isaiah Briscoe, senior, leader. You think back to the Duke team when they had Okafor and all the freshmen. Quinn Cook, senior leader. If you want to get into the one-and-done thing, that's fine. But Calipari, I think, is learning. You still got to have program guys. You got to have those glue guys in your program. And that, to me, is what Mark Smith could be at Kentucky. Not he's not a one-and-done guy, but he could be that guy who's the steady hand. How do you say no to Kentucky?
Well,
I hate Kentucky, but how do you say no to him?
They haven't had a face-to-face yet. I don't think they've had an in-home visit yet. And that Izzo just had his last week. So that's why I'm not sure how serious the – I don't even know if he has an offer from Kentucky yet. I know there's
interest. He doesn't have an offer.
Yeah, I know there's interest, but I don't – that's
like,
why I don't know how serious
the tires.
It is. Yeah. So.
What a decision. Basically, you can go wherever.
You're 18 years old.
Hey!
Yeah. Well, and you know, you look at Kentucky, and like you said, Tim, NBA Factory, if that's his dreams, why wouldn't you?
Oh, this kid's so good.
Yeah.
Mr. Basketball in Illinois, he did win that award. So good.
Well, the last time downstate people won, non-Chicago players won Mr. and Ms. Basketball was Molly McDowell and Brian Cook in 99.
Wow. First time this century then.
How about that?
I tell you, the turnaround for the Bragging Rights game is already going to be incredible for
next
year.
Oh, yeah. That'll be the best Bragging Rights game in a long time.
They'll pack that place again, won't they?
Michael Porter Jr. at
Mizzou. Hey, it'll probably move back to prime time.
I bet it will. Yeah, it won't be at 3 o'clock on the Deuce next year. 8 o'clock on the Big Dog.
That's right.
Oh, wow. That'll be fun.
By the way, check out our broadcast schedule on our website, WSMIRadio.com. We have Cardinal baseball up there, high school softball and baseball beginning this next week as well. And, of course, we'll be podcasting all of our high school sporting events as well and streaming them online when we play them at night on FM 106.
So. All right. Hey, before we get out of here, predictions for tonight. David? Who's going to be playing for the national championship on Monday?
Probably North Carolina Gonzaga.
Terry?
North Carolina's going to win it all.
I would agree with that, but I think...
Who are they going to beat?
I really don't know. Don't care. I just... How can you beat North Carolina?
Then again,
UConn lost, but, you know, this was their year that if anybody was going to get him this, they were going to...
Think about North Carolina.
They just look... strong in every aspect of the game.
Here's the thing about North Carolina. You're not going to beat them.
Yeah.
But they very well might beat themselves.
They could beat themselves.
They could.
They might
decide to play no defense in the final possession of the championship game. Just let a guy rise up for the game winning play.
Oregon's the team that could, is what people are saying, because they shoot the three.
And they've got Oregon has the athletes to match up on the
Personally, I'm pulling for Gonzaga. Because I'd like to see the Zags win the whole dang thing, but I just don't think they're going to do it, so.
As long as somebody beats North Carolina, I don't care. I think
we say it all the time. You got to have the blue bloods in the championship.
An all Carolina final would be pretty cool.
Ooh, that would be kind of cool.
I personally am rooting for South Carolina to win the whole thing. It's an 85 Villanova Cinderella type of story.
Oh yeah, it would be.
Who ever heard of South Carolina
Frank
basketball
Martin.
Before this year?
Okay, fine. Well,
gotta love Frank Martin.
And then the women in the championship game.
How about that, huh? Doesn't happen a lot.
No, it doesn't. So.
Well, UConn did it like 4 years ago or something.
Outside of UConn. UConn doesn't count.
Because the men won it as a 7 seed and then the women won it as a 1 seed.
Okay. It'll be fun.
Hey, what a great weekend of sports.
Beautiful stuff. Cards, Cubs for real tomorrow night live at 5:55, the first of 162 games on WQSMI AM 1540. And FM 1069. Calhoun Gillespie softball Monday night 7:03 here on FM 106. For David Jenkins, Terry Tote, I'm Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000 watt sports voice of Mid Illinois, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carbondale, and Greenville, the station you can count on.